I'm starting this morning because I want to share with you that today is going to be a little bit different, if that's okay. We're going to begin with two songs. As these songs are sung, you are welcome to stand, you're welcome to sit, you're welcome to meditate on the words if you don't know these songs. But then afterwards, I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach on the expressions of a spirit-filled life. But then we're going to have a time of singing and worshiping again at the end. You may say, David, that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have 20 to 30 minutes of singing and 30 minutes of preaching, and we're supposed to get out for lunch before everybody else. But let me just tell you that legalism is when you take tradition and you make it a law. And today, I pray that we would put our hands out like this and just tell the Lord that we're going to lay down any tradition that we have held as a law and say, Father, we just want you to move today. May there be complete freedom in this place today. The Holy Spirit moves in different ways, and if we expect the Spirit to move the same way every time, we're going to miss Him. So today, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. If the Lord's calling you to kneel during these songs, you're welcome to kneel. If He's calling you to lay, if He's calling you to kneel at the altar, listen, it's not that at the end of worship we're going to have the altar open. The altar's open at all times. If you need to come and kneel and cry out to God, you do that. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Now, the song that we're going to start with today, some of you may not have heard it. It's actually only 2 years old, and I heard it for the first time last week. And I called Aaron and the ensemble and said, hey, we're going to sing it next week. Now, they told me just a few minutes ago that's a lot harder than you realize. So they have come together and really cried out to the Lord and prepared to be able to sing this. Now, this song is a little bit repetitive. You may say to me, David, I don't know about songs that are repetitive. Well, you're going to have a hard time when you get to heaven and we sing the same song over and over and over and over and over. So I ask that today that we would simply let God have freedom in this place. Let's just lay our tradition and say, Father, tradition's good, but it's not the law. And we want the Holy Spirit to move in this place today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as the ensemble begins in song. Father, you are a good, good Father. And as your scripture tells us that we are called to delight ourselves in your word, we are to taste and see that you are good. Father, today, as we sing these songs, Father, may they be an incense of praise that lifts up to you. Father, come and fill this place with your presence. Father, I pray that we would fall on our face in humility before you, O God. Oh, Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all glory. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
You are God. And that is what we want today, that he would be with us and that we would be his people and that he would be our God. Amen. As Christians, we are called to remember, to constantly just live in the story of Christ. That was the event that turned us from death into life. And so today we remember with this song the entire story of the gospel. And we're eagerly awaiting when we get to see him again.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father. Storm was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Would you sing with us?
Praise the Son, praise the Son.
powerful, powerful song. Both of those are. You know, as I was listening to the song King of Glory, I've listened to it a lot lately. How many of y'all have heard that song before? Wow, more than I thought. And as I was listening to it, I remember that Brother Fred and Brother Ed had a song that He Is Here. Y'all remember that song? And the choir would sing it. And just such a powerful song. And the Lord just placed on my heart that King of Glory is like that song to me and to Brother Aaron. Because it's the same thing, right? That song that Brother Fred and Brother Ed used to sing, or Brother Ed, and it would say that He is here and we're asking God to meet with us, and we're going to sing hallelujah till He returns, and we're going to dance in His presence till He returns. Some of you say, David, I don't know about dancing. Let me just tell you, when we're filled by the Holy Spirit, you may not physically dance, but your heart's going to be dancing before the Lord, let me tell you. And so as we look at the scripture today, last week we talked about being filled by the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And we talked about how this is a continual filling. It's not just happens one time. We have the indwelling of the Spirit at salvation. We have a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. It also means, because we have a continual filling, that we can also grieve the Holy Spirit if we do not continue to yield to the Spirit. Now, we saw last week in Colossians 3:16 that being filled is when our hearts, mind, and will are all ordered and transformed by the Word of God. Let me say that again. We recognized last week, according to Colossians 3:16, that being filled is when our hearts, our mind, and will are all ordered and transformed by the Word of God. We also saw last week that we are called not only to delight in God's word, but we are called to fall on our knees in prayer and to seek God. He says that you have not because you ask not. He said that when you seek, you will find. When you knock, the door will be open to you. And so we are called to ask God to fill us to overflowing. Now, as I've told you before, God's not playing hide and go seek with us. He is right there waiting for us to turn to Him. We are called in Romans chapter 12 to be a living sacrifice. And for some of us, we have gotten off the altar and we have ran after other idols of this world. God is calling us to lay our life down before Him as a sacrifice to Him. And He will fill us to overflowing. Today we're going to look at four expressions of a Spirit-filled life. There are many, but Paul specifically shows us four in Ephesians 5:19-21. But let's pick up in verse 15 to get a running start. It says this, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we recognize that without you speaking in this place, then it's pointless for us to come. Father, we recognize that my words are empty, but your words breathe life. So, Father, as we look at your word today, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would fill this place. Teach us to observe and to obey what you are speaking. Oh, Father, we love you, and I ask that you would simply get me out of the way, that your words would be proclaimed. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, every one of us has preconceived ideas of what it means or what it looks like when somebody is filled by the Spirit. Some think of an outward expression that you may have seen at a Pentecostal type church. Some may say that it's more of just their daily living. But I want to take out the preconceived ideas that we have and just simply go to the Word of God. And we'll see that in the Word today, that the filling of the Spirit begins not in an outward expression, but in an inward place of the heart. See, what comes out in word and deed is from the overflow of the heart. That's what it says in the Scripture. It says, for the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we must recognize first and foremost is that one who is filled by the Spirit, it is coming from an overflow. The actions and the words that are spoken are coming from an overflow of the heart. That is why the Scripture says, I've hidden thy word in my heart. There are so many places that talk about the heart. God says that he's looking to and fro for those whose hearts are what? Completely his. He's not looking to and fro for somebody who has an outward expression of dancing or even singing. He's looking to and fro for those whose hearts are completely his. So we have four present participles here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and on. So let me tell you. Number one, it's speaking to one another. Number two, making melody. Number three, giving thanks. And number four, subject to one another or submitting to one another. So there you have it. There's the points for today for the message. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can go to events, type in Luke 4:18, and you'll see those points there as well. Now, scholars have argued whether this is how you are filled by doing these things, speaking together in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody with your heart, giving thanks, and submitting, or is this what happens once you're filled? I think the answer to that is both. Because being filled by the Spirit is when our hearts and mind and will are ordered and transformed by God's Word. And here, God's Word is commanding us to do these things. But we also recognize that we can't do these things if we're not filled by the Holy Spirit. So it's both. Which takes us back to the point that I've shared every week with purpose. You cannot do for Christ unless you are in Christ Jesus. Let me say it again. You cannot do unless you are in Christ. The being must come before the doing. God is a God of order. That's the reason why he spoke and inspired Paul to write 1 through 3. Chapters 1 through 3 were all about who you are in Christ. Salvation in Christ. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 are all about how you live out this new identity. So let's go to verse 19. The first expression of a Spirit-filled life. It says this in verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now this is incredible that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, immediately tells us that the impact of a Spirit-filled person will be found in the fellowship of God's people. See, here he tells us that we are going to speak and even sing differently than we did before salvation. This also means that if you're filled by the Spirit, you're not going to go sit on an island all alone, but instead you'll be part of the body of Christ speaking to one another. Now, the Scripture tells us several times how we are called to speak to one another. The Scripture tells us that we are called to exhort and encourage one another. Somebody who is filled by the Spirit will be speaking to one another, fulfilling the Word of God in their heart, coming forth from their mouth. They're going to exhort and encourage their brothers and sisters in Christ. When you see encouragement coming as an overflow of your heart, out of your mouth towards others, it is showing the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 9 through 11, it says, for God has not destined us to wrath, but for for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you also are doing. We're called to speak to one another, encouraging, exhorting. We're also called in Colossians 3:16 to admonish one another faithfully. That's part of being filled by the Spirit, to admonish one another faithfully. In the book of James, it calls us to confess and to pray for one another. So when we are filled by the Spirit, you're going to find that you are exhorting, that you are encouraging, that you are admonishing faithfully, that you're praying for one another, and that you're confessing to one another. But it also tells us that we'll do that differently than we once did. See, there are many interpretations of speaking psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I could probably get about 15 to 20 different commentaries, bring it up here, and all of them would give a slightly different idea of what Paul was meaning by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I do believe that when Paul was speaking about psalms, that he was talking about the first church hymnal, which consisted of 150 psalms. We have it right here in the book of Psalms. But the biggest takeaway here is that Paul is telling the Ephesian saints that they will not speak like they once did. They will not sing like they once did. They will now speak and sing spiritual songs. Just like in verse 4 of chapter 5, he said, "And there must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks." He's saying, listen, how you speak is going to be different. How you speak to one another, it's not going to be filthy talk. It's not going to be all this silly talk or coarse jesting. No, it's going to be encouraging, exhorting. It's going to be faithfully admonishing and praying for one another. But you know, as I was growing up, I heard 100 times, if not more, "David, it's not as much of what you say as how you say it." Now think about that for a moment. See, when we speak, being filled by the Spirit to one another, we're going to speak with grace, mercy, and love. You know, think about this. Like, let's just say, like, I really don't want to go watch a play, and my wife wants to go watch a play. And then I say to her, "I'm really looking forward to this play." What is it telling her? I mean, I told her I'm looking forward to it, but what did she hear? She heard the sarcasm of, "He's not." You know, there's a difference when somebody says, "Hey, I love you. I care for you." Or in somebody in a fit of rage, "I love you. Don't you understand?" There's a big difference. See, when we're filled by the Spirit, we're going to speak to one another. Not just the subject of what we are speaking changes, but how we speak that. Because even with a faithful admonishment, when you're filled by the Spirit, the Scripture says multiple times that you will do that in gentleness. Not out of, "Oh, you got caught. Bust it." You'll do it out of gentleness. So not only is a Spirit-filled life one who speaks with one another in corporate worship together with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but number two, he says that you will make melody with our heart to the Lord. Now, I am so thankful that Paul did not say that we would make melody with our vocal cords or with our voice. It has been confirmed to me by my wife that I was not gifted with the ability to sing in a manner of standing up here singing solos. But praise God that as a filled by the Spirit person, it's not about our talents or about our vocals. It's about the overflow of the heart. Look at what it says. It says this in verse 19. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. When I stand in front of you, as I did last week, and sing the song, "I Got a River of Life Flowing Out of Me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free, I've got a river of life flowing out of me." When I stood up here and sang that song, that was not, "Hey, let me tell you how amazing my voice is." That was the overflow of my heart. I couldn't get, like, I was even like, I'm not going to sing this. I'm just going to read the words. And as I was reading the words, what happened? I started to sing. Why? Because my heart was overflowed with the verse Luke 4:18. See, our voice is simply the vehicle in which our heart is expressed. Let me say that again. Our voice is simply the vehicle at which our heart is expressed. True worship and singing to the Lord must come, as I said, from the overflow of your heart. You can stand in here and sing all day long and never worship God. Isn't that what Jesus said about the Pharisees? Mark chapter 7, verse 5 through 9. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their what? Heart is far from me." And then look at verse 7, continuing quoting in Isaiah, "But in vain do they worship me." But in vain. You know what the word "in vain" means? It means to no avail. It's worthless. They are worshiping God with their tongue, but their heart is far from them. When you are filled by the Spirit of God, you will sing songs from the heart. It won't be about the simple, whether it's upbeat, downbeat, slow beat, fast beat. It's going to be about the words that are being proclaimed. You know, it's interesting that I've heard statements from people that have told me, "David, I can't worship to contemporary music." I've also heard people tell me that they can't worship to the hymns. And both statements breaks my heart. Because in both of those statements, they are placing their personal preference over worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we worship, it's about the truth that is being sung more than about the speed of the music. Even this morning, we just sang King of Glory, or listened to it. Many of you, your heart was leaping for joy and dancing before the Lord as those words were being proclaimed. I asked you, I said, would you just sit and meditate on these words if you don't know it? Why? Because even if you don't know the song, you can still worship God from your heart by simply letting those words wash over your heart and mind. See, it's an interesting statement when people are focused on the style of music, because we must be focused on the truth. As we sing and as Brother Aaron picks songs to lead us in, his heart's desire is, what does the words of the song say? At the beginning of this time of worship, we sang two contemporary songs. But at the end, when we sing, you're going to sing quite a few hymns. Why? Because the hymns also proclaim the truth of who our God is. Remember at the beginning, I told you that legalism is taking a tradition or even a principle and beginning to form laws that it has to be this way. If in your mind you have created that singing has to be this way, then what happens? We miss the Spirit's moving. Because in reality, it's about the words that are being spoken. Now, there is a law that we need to follow when it comes to worship, and that is that the words are from the Word of God, such as the second song that Aaron and Heidi sang, that was the whole gospel. Did you see that? Jesus stepped down. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the tomb, from the grave, right? From the tomb. And then it said that the Holy Spirit lit the flame of the church going forth to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, can we get any more gospel just saturated than those words? With the music in the middle saying, "Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit." So then we see, not only are we to speak to one another, we're called to make melody with our heart to the Lord. Then it says in verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Now, when you look at this third participle, when you look at this third idea of expression of a spirit-filled life, this is difficult because it tells us that we are called to give thanks or to live in a constant state of gratitude. There must be no other place like the church house on Sunday morning when the church shows up that shows an attitude of gratitude. When we walk into this place on Sunday morning, there should be an overwhelming sense of thankfulness and gratitude to our God. Why? Because if it wasn't for God's love sending his son to die on the cross, we wouldn't be meeting. We would be dead in our sins. If it wasn't for the transformational power that God sent his son to die, and through the blood of the Lamb we have been set free, we wouldn't have anything to sing. If it wasn't for the filling of the Holy Spirit that overflows in our heart, we wouldn't have anything to be thankful for. But here's the thing. We live in an attitude of gratitude always because God has transformed us. We're no longer who we once were. See, he even says this in verse 20. Always giving thanks. You may want to circle that. How often are we to give thanks? Always. And as Brother Fred said, all means... Man, y'all got that. Y'all got that quote down. As Brother Fred always said, all means all. And you know, it's difficult for us to understand sometimes. Because for us to give thanks in all things, we have to simply trust the sovereignty of God. Think about it. For us to always give thanks, we must trust and believe in the sovereignty of God. As in the book of Job, nothing can happen to Job without it first going before God. If God was not sovereign, then would we be able to be thankful in all things? No. But because he's sovereign, we can be thankful always. Now, you may say, David, please explain to us the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. And I would tell you, God is a whole lot bigger and greater than I ever will be. And it's only by the power of God in and through me that I can even speak. And for some of us, we just need to come to a place where we say, listen, we don't fully understand it, but that's okay. That's okay. We must believe it. See, but one of the things that attacks our thanksgiving, our attitude of gratitude, the kryptonite to thankfulness, is pride. See, you begin to think, I can make it on my own. You begin to think, I deserve what I have. You begin to think of others less because of that pride. You begin to think, not only do I deserve the abilities and what I have, but even worse, you say, I deserve more. See, pride will squash out thankfulness because pride makes you feel self-sufficient, as if you can provide everything that you need. And let me just remind you that even the breath in your lungs right now is by the grace and mercy of God. Your heart beating right now is by the grace and mercy of God. The fact that we are alive and continue to share the gospel is by his grace and his mercy. Everything that we have, every ability that you have, is by his grace and by his mercy. Listen, it even talks about in the church that when you see somebody that has a lesser gift, so to say, that they are to receive even more honor. Why? Because we're all needed. We're all needed. You may look and say, well, David, he's a pastor, and so his status is here. Listen, when we are children of God, it's not about our status individually. It's about that we are all children of God and we are called to serve. See, our mindset looks at the structure of things sometimes and begins to put and elevate status. No, it's not about status. We're all together for the kingdom of God. Pride must be squashed out. If there's any pride in this place, the only way to combat it is to fall on your face in humility and say, God, I'm thankful for the gift that you have given me and I want to use it for your kingdom. And not only that, but the gifts that I see out there that maybe I wish that I had, I'm thankful that you gave that to my brother or my sister in Christ, and we're going to run together for the kingdom of God. Listen, Wednesday night I told you, don't expect God to bless Luke 4:18 if you're not willing to pray for our brother and sister's churches to be blessed. Because in this understanding right here, we must be thankful for our brother and sister churches, or our sister churches, I think is how we say that. Praying for them. Why? Because we're all together for the body of Christ. But then he says this, and this is where it gets really tough. He says, always, for what? Everything. He says, always give thanks for all things. Everything. Wow. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to give thanks even in the difficult days? The good, the bad, the struggles? When life is wonderful, it's easy to give thanks. But when life is difficult, it's hard to give thanks. But why do we give thanks even in the hard days? It's because we recognize that God's our provider. We recognize that he's with us. We recognize that he's growing us, that he's strengthening us, and that he's showing the world that we have a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. We must be thankful in all things. Look at what Jonah said in the belly of the well. In the belly of the well, he said this. In Jonah 2, or the big fish, whatever, however you want to say that. I think it is the big fish. But he said this in Jonah 2, verse 9 through 10. He's praying. At the end of his prayer, he says, in the belly of the fish, he says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of what? Thanksgiving. Jonah's like in the middle. I mean, you talk about a situation. He said, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Some of you may feel like you're in the belly of a fish right now in your circumstances. We must give thanks to God that he's our provider, that he's with us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, I can keep going. What about Daniel? They sign a decree. Anybody who prays to any other God, right? Look at what Daniel does. Now, when Daniel knew that the documents were signed, he entered the house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had a window open towards Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving what? Whoa. Hey, Daniel, you go pray. You're going to lion's den. And he prays. He said, God, I give thanks for all things. He didn't know whether he'd be eaten up in the lion's den or not. But he knew that God was sovereign. And he knew God was with him. Give thanks. Wow. Corrie Ten Boom. Y'all know Corrie Ten Boom. And she recited a poem. And you've got to hear this. I looked hard. Some people say she wrote it, and some people say that she just quoted it. So I don't know if she wrote it or quoted it, but either way, she definitely said it. And I actually had a video that I watched of her speaking this poem. And it says, my life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oftentimes he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. Whew. we could almost just stop right there. Think about that. When you look at the underside of a weaving, it's a mess. It's a mess. Some of us are looking at our lives and saying, God, are you really sovereign? Are you really over all this? Like, are you really with me? Are you here? And God's saying, be thankful in all things. But the only way you can do that is being filled by the Spirit. Because when you're filled by the Spirit, you recognize that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And at the end of it all, he's going to flip that weaving over and you're going to see the portrait, the weaving, what has really taken place through our lives. Then it says, and I'll be very quick here, but then it says that we're always to give thanks to who? To God the Father. It says we are always to give thanks to God. Why? Because he's the one who gave his son to die on the cross. He's the one who's worthy of all of our praise. To God. And then how do we do that? Obviously through the filling of the Holy Spirit, but it says through Jesus Christ. It's because of the blood of the Lamb that the veil has been torn, and now we have access to the throne of grace. Brothers and sisters, we can be thankful to God before him because of the blood of Jesus. It's only because of Christ that we can come boldly with confidence before the throne. When you're filled by the Spirit, you speak to one another. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You make melody to God with your heart. You give thanks in everything. Everything. And then there's a fourth one. Probably the hardest of all. But can I just stop before I go to the fourth one and just tell you, have you noticed that all of these, the filling of the Spirit is shown in the corporate worship together? Corporate means that we're coming together, right? The corporate worship, we're speaking to one another. When you're filled by the Spirit, it's about the community of the body of Christ. You're speaking. You're making melody together with your heart before God. You're always being thankful. And when you come into a place like this, it should be an overwhelming expression of thanksgiving. I'm looking around and I'm seeing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Why? Because you once were dead and now you're alive. But then there's a fourth one. It says when you're filled by the Spirit, you are subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, for some of you, your scriptures say submitting to one another. We are all called to live in unity that the Holy Spirit creates. To live in unity means that you're going to have to put up with people that you may not have been friends with outside of the church. It means you're going to have to get along with people who have different ideas, preferences, and thoughts. But isn't that the beauty? Is that God has taken a group of people who naturally might not have ever been friends, might not have naturally said, hey, that's the person I want to go on vacation with. That's the person I want to hang out with. And he has brought us together and built a unity by the power of the Holy Spirit that no organization, no group of people would ever be able to emulate when we are filled by the Spirit walking in unity together. But let me just tell you, submitting to one another means that you think of others more than yourself. And this requires us being willing to lay down our opinions, our preferences for the betterment of the body of Christ. Let me say that again. Submitting to one another means that we must be willing to lay down our opinions, our preferences for the betterment of the unity of the body of Christ. And we must be careful that when we lay that down, we don't do it in a heart of grumbling and complaining. Well, I'm okay with it, but remember how you say things mean something? And let me just tell you, that doesn't mean that you don't have preferences. Doesn't mean that you don't have opinions. It just simply means that you are laying those down for the kingdom of God. That it's about God's name being glorified rather than simply you getting everything that you want. Now, let me be very real and transparent with you. I've said this twice in my pastorate of a year and a half. And I'll say it right here. When I fell on my face and God spoke to me about following Brother Fred and that God would be with me and gave me the story of Joshua, in that moment God said, "Now David, you can't lead by your preferences. You've got to lay those down. You've got to place those down and seek me." So we've got to understand that this is not a pastor saying, "Everybody lay down your preferences so that I can have what I like in singing and the style of Sunday morning and all that." No, 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 no. It's me laying it down too and leading in that. I had a brother in Christ tell me one time. He said, "You know, David, as pastor, if you come to me and tell me that we need to go out into the parking lot and we need to break up all the concrete and relay the parking lot, I would come to you and say, this is why I disagree with that. But if you said, listen, I know that the Lord is speaking this, I would go pick up whatever tool I need and go to work." Can you imagine when a body of Christ falls on our face in humility like that? See, the reason this is difficult is because our culture has defined submission as weakness, and our culture has defined submission as not being equal with. I told you earlier that even pastoring is not about status, it's about serving. See, our culture has said, you're not to as it says just here in the next few verses, wives, submit to your husband. Culture will say, well, don't submit to your husband because that makes you less equal. Listen, if submitting makes you less equal, then we have a problem with Scripture, because Jesus submitted to the Father's will, but yet he's still one with the Father. Was Jesus any less weak? Less weak. Was he weak at all? That didn't make sense. Let me go back. Was Jesus weak because of his submission? No. Was Jesus less than who he was because of his submission? No. It's how God ordered it. And he willingly submitted that. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, three in one. But you know, in Scripture, we see a time where somebody wasn't willing to lay down their preference. With Jacob and Esau. Esau was hungry, and instead of laying down his appetite, he traded it for his birthright. I truly believe that there are churches all across our nation who have laid down the blessing of God because they are not willing to lay down their personal preferences and appetite for the unity of the body of Christ. You know what we see? Because there's a church on every street corner, when there's something that you disagree with, you just go to the next church. Instead of us running together for the kingdom. Now, I understand if it's doctrinal differences, I get that. But if it's preference differences, there's nothing biblical about that. Let me give you a real life example. I just share with you Jacob and Esau, but let me give you a real life example. And let me stop here and say this. The only way you can do that is be filled by the Spirit. Why? Because in ourself, we desire to get what we want, right? But let me give you a real life example. If any of you were called to go to Carnegie Hall to watch a symphony, that'd be awesome. Carnegie Hall's in New York City, right? And you're going to see the symphony. And all of a sudden, you see all these musicians. And by the way, I love the orchestra. I play the trumpet. That does not mean that I'm going to join because I don't have the ability, but I would love to join if I could. I'll stop there. That is something that everybody needs. If you can play an instrument, you need to be in the orchestra. But do you realize that when you watch a symphony, every member of the symphony submits to the director? To the director. Under the direction and the authority of that director, they lay down their self for the unity of the symphony. Can you imagine if you went to Carnegie Hall and all of a sudden all the members of the symphony began to play whatever they wanted to at whatever speed they wanted to? It would be a mess. And you'd be walking out with a headache looking for some aspirin. But when they all submit together for the unity, what happens? They play beautiful music. See, that's what happens when we're filled by the Spirit and we submit to one another. That starts with me laying down my preferences and seeking God to give wisdom and guidance. But then it says this at the end of verse 21. It says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, for some of you, your Bibles use the word reverence. And to be truthful, the word reverence is probably a better understanding for us, because when we think of fear, we tie it into an emotion of being scared. But the word actually means a feeling of profound respect for reverence. When we're filled by the Spirit, we submit to one another out of reverence to God, not reverence to the pastor or to the associate pastor. We submit to one another out of reverence to God, out of respect, out of profound respect, because we want nothing more than God's glory to be lifted high in this place. We want no one other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be seen throughout this place. See, when we're filled by the Spirit, we encourage and exhort one another. We sing a different song. When we're filled by the Spirit, our heart overflows and we lift praises to the King. When we're filled by the Spirit, we live in an attitude of gratitude. And when we come together, that gratitude, that thanksgiving is bubbling over. Why? Because we've got now 120-130 people in here today. And those that are online that all have an attitude of gratitude. Can you imagine? Think about it. It will bubble over. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's filling us. And when we come together and we're filled by the Spirit, we submit to one another out of respect and honor to our God. So here's what we're going to do today. In the last 15 or so minutes, and maybe even longer, whatever the Lord leads, we're going to make melody with our heart. But I think that each of us has to first ask, Father, are there things that I'm holding on to? Father, is there areas of my life that are not fully yielded to the Holy Spirit? As we sing, the Lord may put on your heart to go and just encourage your sister or your brother. Get up and do it. Don't let tradition in this moment that we just stand and sing be all that we do. If the Lord begins to put on your heart thanksgiving, then just cry out that thanksgiving to God, even if it's loud. If the Lord is saying, come and fall in humility because pride has crept in, come and fall on your face in humility. If God's saying for you to kneel right there, you do that. As we're filled by the Spirit, we will see these expressions of the Spirit in our lives. So today, may we walk in obedience of that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, I ask right now that you would fill us to overflowing. Holy Spirit, rain down in this place. There's freedom. Father, if we're holding tradition as a law, show us and may we lay it down. Tradition's not a bad thing, Father, and you've showed us that. But you have not called us to make that laws to place upon people. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we sing, that this would be the cry of our heart, not just the cry of our lips. Holy Spirit, rain down in this place. Holy Spirit, rain down. Father, if there's anything in my life, start with me. Search me and know me, Father. Father, send a revival. God, we love you. And we praise your holy, holy name. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you stand and worship? Now, if the Lord's telling you to stay seated, you're welcome to stay seated. But for those that feel comfortable, would you stand? And we're going to sing some hymns. We're going to sing and praise and make melody with our heart.
Amen, amen. And this altar is open if you have something that you need to deal with the Lord about today. Let's sing, I Stand Amazed in the Presence.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean.
Sing it out.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them very old. Bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. If that's your story, let's sing this today.
And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Y'all sing it out today.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation and purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. And this is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. We're watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
We're going to sing this last verse, all right, and then we're going to be done today. But all of this, everything, the whole Bible leading up to Christ and him coming back again, that's what we're looking for, amen? We're anticipating, we're looking forward. But until then, we are the body of Christ in unity together, going out to do the work that he has called us to do. And it's only through him that we can do that. I want to run the race together, amen? Let's run it together until we see that mansion that he has for us. Not for us, but that we may worship him. Amen. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there, amen, a song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. If you love the Lord, say amen today.
Well, we're going to be headed out here in just a moment. As I told you last week, worship doesn't stop here. You're going out to live a life of worship. I also shared with you last week that we're a multi-location church. Though we have the church house here, when you leave here today, you're on mission and you are the church. And the church is going to meet all over this city this week, amen? Because wherever you are, the Spirit of the Lord is there in you. Now may we be filled
Let us encourage one another. Let us sing songs from the heart, the overflow. Let us be thankful for what God has done. And let us submit to one another in the fear or reverence of the Lord. As you leave today, you can place your offering in the back. Those that are online, thank you for being with us. You are just as much a part of the body as each person in this room. I do want to share with you that this Wednesday night, we're going to continue in a time of prayer. For those who were online this Wednesday night, I went back and saw the comments that were spoken when we were praying for our sister churches and there was names. When we were praying for salvation and there were names. I was so concerned about how those that were online were going to be able to be and feel a part. And I tell you, after I saw all that was taking place online, I rejoiced. Because we worship God in spirit and in truth together. We're the body of Christ together. Let's run the race together every day for the kingdom of God. I also want to share with you that Brother Randy will have flyers for those who would like to know more about our serve opportunities. Our Luke 4:18 serve day is coming up in July. He'll have that. Your life group leaders will have that. And love for you to get that. I believe it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Is that correct? July 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's an opportunity for us to go share the love of Christ together as the body of Christ. I look forward to seeing each of you, and may you have a wonderful week of worship this week. Brother Aaron?
Let's sing that song that Brother David was singing last week. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. A clap makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well. Oh, in my soul, spring up, oh well. And make me whole. Spring up, oh well. And give to me that life abundantly. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.